hearts and the gifts and everything. I just so appreciate your love. You know, 65 is an interesting number, isn't it? That you're 65 years old. Amen. At 65, I'm going to do more than thrive. I'm going to have the best time of my life. Amen. You know, a lot of times when you think of the number 65, you know that you're slowing down. Well, but you know what? I might slow down a little, but I'm going to make sure that the quality is better than ever. Because look at all the things when you get 60, 65 that you've learned in life. Amen. So we're going to celebrate the next 15 years of my life, or 20. Amen. Hey, I want to talk to you tonight. God has put this in my spirit. And I want to talk to you about call to love. Everybody say call to love.
Call to love.
Interesting, you talked about Andrew and Peter. Many times we think the calling of God, first of all, is to work for God. You know, God, I know you need workers, and you're calling me to work. Well, we know that he wants to use us. But we're going to find out tonight that really our first calling is not to work. Amen. In fact, we're going to go to our scripture tonight, John 13:35. I love this verse. You could preach a month of Sundays on it. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another. Heavenly Father, help us tonight prioritize our purpose, destiny, but let us go back to the foundation, understand what discipleship is all about. We ask in Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
It does not say by your works men will know you're my disciples. It doesn't say by the amount of money in the bank. It doesn't say about the denomination you attend. Doesn't say by how you dress. It doesn't even say how you talk. It says by this, by love, unconditional love one to another. Now, lest we try to simplify this into a feel-good message, actually the love he's talking about here is a sacrificial love. It's not the love that the world has. It's a love that separates us from the sinner. It's a love that causes a glory and a majesty to be in our life. It's not just trying to get along with somebody. It goes beyond that. It's a life that allowed all the disciples except John to be martyred. They dragged John Mark through the streets with horses. Thomas, they cut his head off. I mean, this type of love was so powerful. He said, this is how men are going to know that you're my disciples. And I believe in this hour, if we're going to ever represent Christ, not only individually, but as the body of Christ, one of the things, when people come through those doors, they're looking for God's love. Let me tell you, when God made each of us, when each of us was born, God put inside of us this desire to be loved. This desire to have affection put upon us. Desire for us to be comforted. Love has to do with trust. And that little baby begins to trust the love of its mother first. And the mother can get tired and the father helps, but the reality is all of us were created to love. I have found out in my mile marker, many struggle, even as believers, with loving everybody because of abuse in their life. If you are sexually abused, physically abused, emotionally abused in your childhood, it's like a mirror that gets shattered and we can't figure out what really love is. Because the people or the relative, whoever did something, many times are associated with Christianity or with a church or a congregation or something. So a precious little life tries to figure out, that's love, that's God. I don't want nothing to do with it. Because see, we're all made to be loved and to give love. And this is the thing. If my desire to be loved is greater than my desire to give love, I've still got to mature. Yes, I want to be loved, but I need to give it. I found out real early in my marriage that it's a give and take with love. That it's not just, you know, keep loving me, baby, you know, cook my meal, this love, encourage me, love me. I found out that how selfish I was when I got married. And how immature I still was. Somewhere down the line, God began to deal with me. Hey, don't stand behind the pulpit and preach love, and you're not patient with your wife. Because you're misrepresenting me. You see, we think gifts of the Spirit represent God. Well, maybe in an indirect way. Maybe it represents His power, but His power is only part of who He is. The really representation of God is His love. If you think back over the people you've met during the years, other Christians, pastors, evangelists, whoever, the ones that stick out are the ones that you can sit down and have a cup of coffee and feel genuine love from. Didn't want anything from you. We're trying to be more spiritual. The people you and I remember in our life won't be the rich and famous. Doesn't mean you can't have love to be rich. But on people that when you got in their presence, there was something. And I said, God, shut it all down in my life till I got it. I'm not a professional preacher. I'm not a professional minister. If I can't love like Jesus, I need to sit until I can. This thing has so consumed me in the last few years that as a believer, we are to represent God. Jesus is on the inside through the Holy Spirit. He wants to stand up in us. And I try to think, Lord, when do I allow you to stand up in me? The Lord said, well, son, when you're patient, I'm standing up. When you're impatient, I'm sitting up. When you're kind, I'm standing up. When you're rude, I'm sitting down. And see, that little illustration to me has helped me. So when my flesh does try to be irritable or impatient, I think, you know what? No, Jesus, I'm not going to keep. I'm going to show you the fruit of your Spirit. This is how we know we're disciples. Known by love, not giftings. Never forget this. Gifts are by grace. Love is by choice. Listen, wonderful to have gifts. Talents, music, prophecy, all that, preaching. But they're by grace. But I love by choice. That means I can love everybody. Because I can choose to lose. I can choose to love everybody. I can love everybody that believes in pre-trib, and I don't. I can love everybody that, you know, that they don't believe in speaking in tongues, but they really are saved. I can still love you. I can love somebody that gets in my face and yells at me. Because see, love sets you free. Resentment and bitterness build walls. We're not free. Those are walls in a prison. And we see so much hate around with everybody. Hate, 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 hate this, hate that, this one. Love still the answer. Jesus hated no one but the devil. He didn't even hate the Pharisees. He warned them. He didn't want them to be the Pharisees. wonderful intellectual talent, abilities. Still a grace that God put there when we were born, but I choose to love. We're called to love first. 1 Peter 4:8, above all things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers a multitude of sins, forgives and disregards the offenses of others. It's for a man's glory to look over an offense. And Peter says, above everything, man, your brother and sister are not your enemy. Your brother and sister in another denomination are not your enemy. It's the one enemy we have. Peter said, above everything, I love this, have intense love. Have unfailing love. You know, in this culture we're in, it seems like the atmosphere is to take the passion out of Christianity. Make it some type of lukewarm float down the river like a dead fish type of institution. But I'll have you to know, the love of God will not allow us to become cold because God's love is intense. In fact, he says, I'm a jealous God. I'm jealous over you. You think I'm just sitting back, well, whatever. No, I'm jealous. And besides that, I'm a consuming fire. Peter said, above all things, have intense and unfailing love. And you know why Peter could write that? Because when he denied Jesus, he did not have an intense love and he did not have an unfailing love. Because it was still all about him. What position he was going to have. So here's a man that God allowed Satan to sift him. To show him you still ain't got it. Peter, you walked with me for 3 years. But guess what? Aren't you glad God keeps working with us about our love?
Amen.
Because if Peter had not gone through this time of self-examination, he would have never wrote 2 epistles in the New Testament. What's stopping you and I from doing things for God that will be a legacy or things in our life? If it's anything, it's not my ability, because we all have different abilities and different gifts. It's not my intellect. It's not my... Being here, what Peter's trying to say, the only thing that will cause me not to fulfill the will of God is I'm not allowing God to make me love like Jesus Christ. Above all things. Let me tell you about love. Love is married to truth. Love's married to truth. Ephesians 4:15, speaking the truth in love. May grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Speaking the truth in love. And when I read that verse, I'm like, Lord, oh my goodness, am I even out of high school with this verse? I know I haven't got a master's in it yet. I know you want me to, but it's not always easy to speak the truth in love. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Sometimes it's much easier just to avoid the truth. And sometimes with some people's personality, they don't mind speaking the truth, but there's no love with it. How many know that doesn't work? How many know when Moses had the Ten Commandments, it was truth. They were down there sinning. They were rebels. How many know it was the truth? But he didn't have no love at that moment. Because love does not easily provoke. So he threw the tablets, he threw the truth down. God never told him to do that. Speak the truth in love because see, it causes us to grow, doesn't it? It's not always easy. You don't want to hurt anybody, you don't want to offend anybody. But never speak the truth unless there's really love behind it. A real concern for that person. Not just trying to straighten them out. Just because you want to try to straighten somebody out doesn't mean you love them. And the Bible, that's, you know, he that rebukes a scorner or a scoffer gets to himself a lot. In other words, you go after somebody with just truth and you don't really love them, they're not going to receive it. Genuine love is sincere. Romans 12:9, let love be genuine. Let it be genuine. Maybe if you tell somebody you love them, don't just say it just because it's the right thing to say. Got to be real. I love being around real folks. Ain't nobody perfect. You know, we're all in the same boat. I just love being around genuine love. And I'm going to tell you, the Holy Spirit knows if someone's got genuine love or they're just saying flowery words. I don't need no flowery words. You don't need no flowery words. I don't know about you, but don't you need someone to look you right in the eyes and say, I love you. I care for you. And there's so much of a lack of that. You can tell a lot about a man's integrity if he looks people directly in the eyes. Speak. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Paul even said this because it was part of the culture back then. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Yeah. In some countries they still do that. Paul said that. I've often wondered about that. That wouldn't work today because of cultures. But he said that. In other words, he's saying, listen, don't withhold affection from someone. Pour it out. Everybody say, pour it out. Romans 5:5, and hope makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. How many like going to one of these steak houses and they have that onion they slice up, put it in the fry up? Anybody? Two people. Okay, y'all missing something, man. They take that thing and it opens up. It's just down to the middle of it. You know what God's trying to do? He's trying to get us down real deep where God's love is. Because so much of life we have to deal on a natural basis. We have to get up, we have to take a shower, we have to eat. A lot of our lives are so consumed with just regular earthly things that we don't often reach down to the onion and let the depth of love come out during the day. I tell you, the Holy Ghost, He won't let me go to the store. It never used to be this way. I just can't go to the store and get something. I go to the store and I'm just trying to get something. All of a sudden I see this couple or I see this unwed mother or I see these teenagers and I'm like, oh Lord, do they know you? I'm not even thinking about going in there with that. But it's because I've allowed over the years the love of God because, oh God, I wish I could just go over there and grab them and say, Jesus loves you. Thank God for the milk and everything. But see, it wasn't always that way, you know. He's changing us. Something wants the love of God to come out. Pour it out. But you know, love costs us something. Genesis 22:2. God's saying, talking to Abraham here, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you. Wow. Abraham loved his son. Abraham waited and made a mistake with his handmaiden. And here now his son. And they're playing baseball. And maybe they're playing a video game. And you know, they're out hunting and fishing. And he just loves his son, and all of a sudden God wakes him up in the middle of the night. Take your son, Isaac, whom you love. Interesting time because, see, during that time, there was a lot of heathen, the god of Moloch, there was a lot of practices of people putting their children to death. Now, how about that? You wake up and you hear that, and you wonder, well, you know, God, all the heathen are sacrificing their children. See, to be the father of faith, he had to show God, I love you more than anything you've given me. How many of you know that God is looking for a people that love him more than anything he's given us? Anything, anyone. Not that we don't love the others. But he said, this is going to cost you something, Abraham. It's hard for me to conjure on the screen of my imagination that moment. When Abraham takes the knife, what? My goodness. I mean, look, here he is. He's here. Here's the knife. He's here. Here's the knife here. I mean, his mind is, and he believes God. He trusts God because he said he's his friend. And he gets up here and he starts to come down and God says, Abraham. He said, yes, Lord. Now I know. Everybody say, now I know.
Now I know.
We all got to have a now I know. You see. We have to have a now I know moment. That there's nothing. There isn't a person. There isn't finances. If you never use me, if you never promote me, if you never do anything else for me, and I stay in this place and position till you come, you know what? I want you to know, Jesus, that I'm passing through here. And I'm going to be with you for eternity. And I don't want to look back and think I wasn't ready to kill my Isaac. I don't want to look back and think things were more important in my time and what people thought of me and my reputation. And I don't want to think that I was in a self-preservation religious mode. Really didn't love you passionately. See, the Pharisees couldn't stand Mary Magdalene when she poured out her tears in an alabaster box. So they didn't love God. They loved the law more than God. They loved the law in the Bible more than they loved God. We don't want to be mixed up a little bit. Let's talk about the priority of love here. Matthew 22, Jesus said unto him, this is the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, you should love your neighbor as yourself. We have to grow in this. So this doesn't happen. Somewhere during our Christian journey, we kind of misprioritize the reason we were called and think that even thinking this, and I say this very delicately, but even, you know, people running after the anointing. You can run after the anointing more than you're running after Jesus. Oh, just anoint me, Lord. Just anoint me, Lord. I want to be more anointed. Okay. If that's in the right priority, God will answer. But what would happen if we're all anointed to this great level and everything, but, you know, we stop spending time with him. We stop saying, I love you, Jesus. But we're anointed. Huh? Does that make sense? Oh, Lord, I know you called me to this. I know you called me to that. And I'm just believing you're going to do it and do it. And that's all you tell God every morning. Oh, God, isn't it time for my promotion? Isn't it time for me for you to do something? Isn't it time for me? Okay, next day. Oh, God, isn't it time for me? God, how come you're not doing this? Okay, God saying, hey, baby, where's the love? Where's the love, man? God responds to love. I said, God responds to love. Listen, husbands, when you first got married, you didn't realize how delicate your wife was as far as responding to love. Your wife responds to patience and kindness. And it takes us a long time to figure that out. There's more in marriage than you, us men being the romantic man riding on a white horse and sweeping a white cloth, la-da-da. But after all that, when you get back, she wants some help with the dishes. She wants to talk for an hour, amen, and you be patient and really listen and don't grab the remote, amen. Come on, ladies, you ought to have been shouting here. You know, you missed there, right there. And I kind of learned. I got to shape it up. I said, I got to shape it up. Because things change in marriage year after year, and you've got to understand, and I have to understand that unconditional love is still the greatest in your marriage. Now, the mystery of love, I love this. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Now, that's a mystery. How can you love somebody you don't see? Well, it's very easy. You can see him. He's in 66 books of the Bible, the 66 love letters. It isn't interesting, even some of the hard things in the Bible of sin and whatever, God leaves it there. Why does he leave it there? To show how merciful and loving he is, even through generations of people that turned their back on him. Because if he just loved people that just loved him, and the rest he cut them off completely. But if you look in the Bible, especially in Deuteronomy and other books, you'll see time and time again, God said, I put my hands out to you as a father. I reached out to you. I tried to draw you in with many waters, but you would not. See, God left that in the Bible to show us, listen, he tries and tries and tries tries to convey his love in every generation. Amen. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. Hallelujah. Don't have to see him and love him, but we are going to see him. And some people have had visions and seen him. I did. I told you about that one. But anyway, you love him. How many are disciples tonight? How many believe what the world needs now is still love?
Amen.
I mean, who's saying that? The Supremes? Gladys? What is it? What the world needs now.
Dionne Warwick.
Who?
Dionne Warwick.
Dionne Warwick. Sang it.
Good job. Good guess.
Dionne, remember her? How many remember her? Some of you are born in the 90s. You don't know. Some of us know about them. Temptations, yeah. What? Oh, she is, yeah. How about the Temptations, that song, Ball of Confusion? I was to that about 6 months ago. I said, that's what I'm talking about today. Ball of Confusion. People move it now. People. Yeah. No, it's a soul, don't you know? I tell you, the older music is still the best. Anyway. Though you did not see him, you believe in him, and you rejoice. Oh, my goodness. There's nothing greater to rejoice than that God loves me. Even if he blesses me and things, you know, when we were living in Dinwiddie, you know, we knew it was time to move. We wanted to be closer here to the church, and we just felt it was time to move. And so we bought the house, put a roof on it, all this stuff. And so we're driving all around. And how do you know that? Sometimes it's not a great. You just drive for day after day after day. So we're just driving around. We come from the back way down Southern Boulevard. Is that what it is? South Boulevard. I don't know if my publisher driving down there. I said, Deb, just turn here. And it was Dunlop Farms. Dunlop, it's one of those. I've been there 4 years. I don't know yet. It's one of those. And so we turned in there, and we hadn't driven 25 feet. And I turned to her, I said, this is where we're supposed to live. This is where we're supposed to live. Isn't that true? And what helps? One of the houses we liked, there wasn't anyone for sale that she liked, so You know, I just was wondering, you know, the prophet, he prophesies wrong. You know, it's supposed to be stoned, you know. So I was a little upset. I was upset when it was going to happen. And so 3 days, you know, we talked to the ladies and everything, or the lady in the wheelchair. Then 3 days later, we pull back in. And she takes a left, goes down the street, and the very house that she had wished was for sale, a Dutch type of style house. Some of you have been there. All of a sudden, there's a for sale sign on there. It was not there before. Amen. Why would the Holy Spirit say that? Because see, that shows me God loves us enough. It's interesting. Because I told them, I said, you're going to pick out the next house. I don't care if it's a teepee. I don't care if it has green cabinets in the kitchen. If that's what you want, baby, I'm not going to say nothing. Because I love you. I'm going to just move in there with you. Hallelujah. And when she saw that sign for sale, a Dutch-style house. She is Dutch from Amsterdam. She's not from Amsterdam. New York, just kidding. But anyway, Bill, that's it. 3 days later, we had a contract and we moved in.
Amen.
3 days later.
Amen.
I began to think about that God loves us enough to want us to. He said, listen, if you leave mother and father, houses and lands, they'll get back to you. You might think, you know, and I begin to think how personal love is. Because see, a reed he will not break, and a smoking quench he'll not put out. In other words, that God is so much in the detail that his love is so personal. He said, I'm going to count the hairs of your head. Now, I don't know about you, but he must be counting them a lot every day. Now, that's love. Now, Pastor Deb, I mean, she colors my hair and she's taking care of the man, his hair. She said, I'm not married to an old man yet. I said, well, all right, baby, I understand. Well, give me a kiss then, you know. And so she puts this stuff on my hair. And I remember 4 years ago when she did it, she had gone to the clearance aisle and bought the markdown version for $3. And I had blue hair on Sunday. I remember that. Well, I just came in here like, man, I'm a good pastor. But I said, baby, don't do that again. You know what I'm saying? Pay the $8. I mean, you know. Pay the $8. Baby, am I worth $8? Cheap. Yeah, well, I didn't say it. Did I say it? I said cheap. I didn't say frugal. There we go, baby. 8 years at Virginia National Bank. That's, you prepared for that. Hallelujah. But anyway, God is personal because he loves us. You see, and I'm going to close here. When you and I get in the midst of people that profess they love us, but they don't, there's always the lack of a personal touch there. You can be very robotic. I am good to see you. Internet. Thank you. I'm going back to Star Wars. I'm going back to Mandalorian. I'm going back to Lost in Space. Danger, Will Robinson. Now, if you're born in the 90s, you have no idea what I'm talking about. And you know what? I've had to repent of it. I thought I was there. And all of a sudden, I realized, you know what? Because I found out that loving like a disciple takes work and it takes time. And church. Nobody survived. Paul said to Barnabas, you're not bringing John Mark. And their contention was so much that they split ways. John Mark had left on a previous mission trip. Well, Paul had to grow in love too. And finally, he gave his life, he goes, bring John Mark. Aren't you glad God gives us second and third chances for love? Amen? That's the mystery of love. Let's talk about what love is. First Corinthians 13, love is patient. Everybody say patient. Love is kind. Everybody say kind. Does not envy and does not boast. Not arrogant. or rude. How many of you ever been in a situation, you know, you raised your hand, and you walked away, maybe a little while later you realized you were rude? I'll lift my hand. Back in the sand, I think, oh my gosh, that was rude. Does not insist on its own way. Many marriages don't last over 2 years because somebody starts insisting on their own way, and that is the way. It's not irritable or resentful. Now, you might not be resentful, but guys, you ever get irritable? Guys, you with me? I hear somebody snoring out there. No. You know, guys don't get irritable, we don't. I find out when I'm dealing with being irritable, it's because I have to push everything aside and I go back to this. Do I see myself valuable in the sight of God apart from works? Because a lot of men, they become irritable. I'm not talking about if you're tired or sorry, I'm just talking about, it's because they don't feel like they're making a difference. But that's a never-ending spiral down, because you can never get to the place that replaces our understanding of how much God loves each one of us. Takes Mo account of Eden. Mo. We say Mo. Why is that in there? I don't know. The computer does funny things. So the heat. Takes no account of evil, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, rejoices with the truth. I love this last part. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. I don't know about you, I'm still working on enduring all things. A lot of things I can endure. Some other things, they make me mature. You shall know the disciples by our love. The Bible says that faith works by love. The Bible says that the gifts of the Spirit will pass away, but love remains. Can God find a people? Can God find an individual that when we walk in a store, walk in a situation, we don't have to preach at people, but just look in the eyes and smile and say, how you doing? The love of God stands up and comes right out. Because the eyes are the gateway to the soul of the Bible says. Have you ever had someone look at you mean with their eyes? But you can look at someone's eyes and see this person's a lover. That's how Jesus is. He's a lover of men. Can we stand tonight? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight. We're all on a journey. Lord, we pray that the days and years we have left on this earth to represent you. We will first represent you by the love we have for each other and for our neighbor. And may your grace shower down upon us as we strive to be like Christ, as we allow him to stand up on the inside. And we sit down the things that will cause us to misrepresent you. May your favor, promotion, blessing, and anointing be upon those that love. We thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.